Number eight, agenda, public waters, Chad, are you doing this one? Welcome back.
You say tired or retired? Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Secretary Rowland. I believe it's on page 10 of your PDF. We'll talk about the public waters chapter. We have an administrative rule. As you know, we have numerous regulations on various public waters across the state for various reasons, whether it's for public safety, to protect property, some of our infrastructure, various reasons. But what we have for you here today involves the Wabe National Wildlife Refuge and the Wabe State Game Bird Refuge up in Dade County. And we have a staff recommendation here for your consideration to remove the current no boating zone and allow for non-motorized water craft on these two refuges. A little bit of background here. Our regional staff, well, actually a lot of our staff across the state have spent a considerable amount of time working with the National Wildlife Refuge staff across the state. The refuge system nationally is looking to enhance outdoor recreational opportunities within their system, and we've made some great strides with those refuge systems here within the state. And just another example here for opening up some opportunities at Wabe. And yeah, this is pretty black and white. You can just see the draft administrative rule changes down there below, about in the middle of your action sheet. Unfortunately, we do not have a map in here. Maybe next month we'll have a map in here, which visually provides a representation of what this would open up for non-motorized watercraft. But, Mr. Chair, that's what we have for your consideration here today as a proposal to stop the public comment.
Do you have any questions? Okay, so there's a motion second to yourself for proposals for the comments. Any questions? Any questions? No, all in favor by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's number nine, license agent process.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. Secretary Rowland, Keith Fisk. I'm the program administrator with the licensing section. And if you please turn your attention to number 12 in your booklet, I believe, to review this proposal that we have before you in regards to licensed agents. The licensed agents for you folks, there's 371 of those across the state of South Dakota that serve a very important and valuable role for our agency in the ability to sell licenses to folks, whether they're in South Dakota on a trip and DFT licenses or DFT offices are closed, excuse me, or, maybe somebody woke up that morning and they decided to go hunting and they want to hop on the website and be able to purchase a license and midtown, they can go to a licensed agent and be able to have the ability to purchase that license and go hunting that day. So they really do serve a valuable role for our agency. I know Heather Villa has been in front of you several times and it spoke about our new licensing system that will be coming online and live December 15th of 2021, Go Outdoors. That's going to be coming up here rather quickly, and as such, we need to modify two administrative rules that we have before you today in regards to business rules or business practices with these licensed agents. One of those is as technology moves along, most private businesses, as you folks know, utilize electronic sweeps and ACH deposits, transfers, all done electronically. Currently, right now, it's a real manual process, not real user-friendly. So moving forward with those license agents, we would adjust the administrative rule that talks more about moving to an electronic system where those funds are swept at a certain time of the month into our account and vice versa, to be able to make those transactions in a much more timely manner. The second adjustment that we have is to repeal the administrative rule in regards to the use of emergency authorization booklets, which are basically paper books, if you will, that allow license agents to handwrite a license in the event that the website is down or some of those types of things. Again, as technology improves and changes, there's really no longer a need to be able to handwrite these licenses out. The new system that we have for our licensing department or section that starts here in December, it's actually stored on the cloud. And I talked to our Bureau of Information and Technology folks because as far as I'm concerned, the cloud is something up in the sky when I look up. But when I talked to those folks, it really is a very new technology, if you will, that allows basically that server to store this information on the cloud. And they've got multiple servers across the United States. So if one of the servers in New York City goes down, Amazon uses the same type of technology. If one server goes down, there's two or three or four others that are still backed up so people can still continue to use that website. Which translates for us is that over the years, you know, we've experienced a lot of different outages with our state network. And moving forward, we're going to be able to provide a much greater customer use experience because that website should not go down. I talked to an engineer here just last week, and I said, you know, if something happened like 9/11, are we going to lose the website? And they're like, no, because if that server went down in New York City, there's another one in Denver or San Francisco that's going to be able to continue to provide a seamless opportunity for those folks. So with that, we really don't need to have those emergency authorization booklets out there. There isn't going to be a need to be able to handwrite and issue paper licenses. So that's the second change that we have before you. So with that, I'd certainly answer any questions, but I would ask for your favorable approval of this proposal and with those two adjustments to administrative rules.
Did they have any questions for you? If not, I entertain a motion to move the vote. A motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, do by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Director Simpson, you're going to do number 10, camping reservation uniform policy. You like it? Yes, it is. We're here to make money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks and Rec Division, and I couldn't agree with you more, right? takes money to make the world go round, but over the last couple of years, we have come to the Commission and through the legislature and asked for some fee increases. We've obviously seen a change in use in our park system with an increased interest in getting outdoors and this was one of those things, our cancellation policy, that has been around for quite a while, and we just felt like it was time to look at it and maybe modernize it, hopefully be able to make it more understandable for those folks that are using our system. And when they call, we wanted to have a system in place that basically anybody that got on the other end of the phone could rather quickly say, hey, this is what our refund policy is. So just going to give you a little background here, and again, it's on page 14 of the PDF that you have for the commission booklet. Our current system basically says that anytime you make a reservation and cancel that reservation, even if you made that reservation today and it's for 90 days out and you canceled it tomorrow, that basically if that was a camping for a campsite, you would have to pay one night's camping fee for that to cancel that, even though we've still got 89 days to try to rent that particular campsite. And then for lodging, if you were outside of 30 days, we would charge you $25. And inside of 30 days, we would charge you $25 for each night that you canceled. Again, we don't know that was the most user-friendly system in the world. Maybe a little more rigid than we needed to be, again, considering some of the demand that we have for some of these campsites and lodging opportunities. So working with regional supervisors and staff, asked them to put together a proposal that would, again, be a little bit more understandable and a little bit easier on our folks. The proposal you have before you, it basically breaks it out again by campsites and lodging. But what we're asking for in this proposal is that for campsites, anything outside of 7 days, if you wanted to cancel that reservation, we would do that free of charge. We think that a week's time gives us the opportunity to rent that campsite to anyone that's looking for it, and we don't believe that there needs to be a fee associated with that. Now, inside 7 days, we're starting to run a little bit tighter window. We've got to kind of pick a day range here, but inside 7 days, we would ask that the fee for that cancellation be one half of one night for that campsite. That varies from campground to campground, but we would, I think the highest that we have is $30 in Custer State Park, and on the low end, we're about $15. So it would be half of one night inside of 7 days. On the lodging side, because lodging is a little bit different than campsites, there isn't quite as much demand for some of our offerings. We're looking at a 30-day window there. Anything outside of 30 days that you would cancel, we would not assess a fee for that. Inside of 30 days, we would be looking at half of one night there as well. So you're all familiar with some of those fees. They range from $55 to $280 in some cases. So we'd be asking inside of 30 days or one half of one night on those reservations. And included in that lodging is also the French Creek Horse Camp. The French Creek Horse Camp is a little bit unique with the users in that area. It's not like maybe some of our other just general campground opportunities with the pretty specific group that uses the French Creek Horse Camp in Custer State Park. So we would include that in that 30-day window as well. Trying to think of what else. I think that pretty well covers what we had to offer. The one thing that I would tell you, too, that we always offer the opportunity for anyone who does have an issue, whether it's outside the 7 days, inside the 7 days, even in our current policy, if someone wants to move a reservation, we do that without assessing a cancellation fee. So we always offer that opportunity first. If they've got another set of dates that we can put them into another location or same location further on in the year, we certainly do that and don't assess a fee. So we're trying to make this a little more customer friendly, trying to make it a little more understandable. This does have a fiscal impact. If you can see in the notes there, in 2020, we assessed about almost $250,000 of the fee for cancellation. We feel like that's going to reduce significantly, but we're okay with that. The cancellation fee shouldn't be a money making deal, right? It should be there to protect us a little bit on the backside when we have cancellations that we can't fill. But we think that this current proposal still gives us ample time to fill up those vacancies. And in the offside that we can't, there is a reduced fee from where we're at right now. With that, Mr. Chair, we'd ask for your approval of the proposal in front of you for the camping reservation cancellation.
Thanks, guys. Linda, do you have any questions? Mr. Sharp.
Mr. Sharp here. Scott, I appreciate the fact that we like to make it flexible for our users and everything. My concern is not only the fiscal impact, but it's going to be, right now, people know that they have to get in line and get the reservations made, and it's a commitment. Without these cancellation fees, it's going to be pretty easy to just line up every weekend you want, and if it doesn't work out, no big deal. And I just, I'm not convinced that's completely fair to the department either. I mean, like you say, French Creek, it's going to be tough for somebody to, all of a sudden they cancel a reservation on a Wednesday for somebody else out there to go, oh, okay, great, I guess I'll arrange for a couple of days off of work, quick load up the horses, get somebody to take care of the ranch while I'm on the team. So I'm not leaning the same direction the department is on this. I think there needs to be cancellation fees, period. So that's just my thoughts.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Sharp, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think that what we're trying to do is maybe mimic a little bit more what the hotel kind of industry does. A lot of times I can make a hotel reservation, and as long as I'm so far out, I can do that free of charge. And again, if I thought that we were exposing ourselves to a number of vacancies, or that the regional supervisors thought that we were kind of leaving a hole here that we wouldn't be able to fill those, I get more into that camp. But I do feel like with our 90-day windows, with cancellation policy that we have in front of you, we're still going to see those vacancies. And again, if we did see that some of those kinds of things where we've got people that are gaming the system a little bit, we would certainly be able to react to that.
Any other questions? Any questions for Scott? Then I entertain a motion to move the proposal to hold it. Vote. A motion. Second. In the second, any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you for that. Thinking I had another person coming up.
Well, Jay, we're going to do